This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 12, 2020. The Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be accepted by sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those words we hear at every single Mass. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. There are several days throughout the year where you don't hear everything that we normally hear in the Mass. Like there are some days where we don't do the prayers at the foot of the altar. There are some days when you do not hear the last gospel. This is invariable. This is always heard. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is from Psalm 117, if you use an older English version. It is a prayer that praises God for deliverance, salvation. It is a prayer that exhibits our enthusiastic trust in God to save us. And it is a prayer that points to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It points to, again, enthusiastically and joyfully, to this one who is to come. They don't know who it is, but they are joyful in just the contemplation of understanding that indeed God is going to send his anointed one, his Messiah. This prayer points to Jesus Christ. Today, we celebrate the commemoration of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. That commemoration, thinking about, meditating upon the baptism of our Lord, can foster within us an appreciation of many different things. It can foster within us an appreciation of the rite of baptism, per se. It can foster within us an appreciation for the Blessed Trinity. It can teach us a lot about John the Baptist, the relationship between our Lord and he as cousins. But at the end of the day, out of all the things we can learn from baptism, the first and foremost thing that we need to come away with is to understand that our Lord's baptism emphasizes explicitly that he is the one that the Old Testament pointed toward enthusiastically and joyfully with those words, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. When the psalmist wrote that, it was, who is it going to be that we joy over the fact that there will be? We know. We know. We should be much more joyful. So when we hear those words at every single Mass, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It should be with much more joy and much more enthusiasm than the psalmist spoke, because we know who this Messiah is. It's about Jesus Christ and him alone. Everything in the Old Testament, the first reading today, the prophet Isaiah speaks of this coming one. Isaiah does not know the name. He does not know who it is going to be, but he speaks of it. The Messiah, his coming, is from Genesis, from immediately after the fall, when God himself is giving the punitive measures, the punishments for what they've done. He ends it all by saying that there will be a time when the seed of the woman will come and crush the head of the enemy. The enemy will bruise his heel, but that speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. So from the time of Genesis thereon until the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was constant looking forward Everything in the Old Testament speaks of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the animal sacrifices speak of this one who's going to shed his perfect blood, that perfect Lamb of God that will once for all take away and wash away the sins of those who believe in him. When our Lord Jesus Christ is baptized, God Almighty himself speaks from heaven and points to him as this one that was to come. When you look at this whole picture of our Lord Jesus Christ being baptized, the baptism of our Lord. Have you ever paid attention specifically to the things that happen after our Lord's baptized? The heavens are open. The Holy Spirit manifests himself in a form and comes down and alights on our Lord Jesus Christ. And that voice of the Father from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Those three things, that says baptism. What's up with the heavens being open? What's that got to do with anything? It sounds real churchy. Why are the heavens open? Because before Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came, they were closed. People who died after the fall did not go to heaven. They went into a limbus patrum. They went to limbo, as we refer to it. This place of the dead that is compartmentalized with those who will eventually go to heaven, like we call purgatory, and those who will not go to heaven. Even that is compartmentalized. But when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, he opens heaven. He bridges the gap between this world and being able to be in the presence of Almighty God. Our Lord Jesus Christ does that. No one else. Jesus Christ opens heaven. Moses never opened heaven. The law, keeping it, does not open heaven. No philosopher or prophet opens heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, opened heaven, because only God has the keys to open and close heaven. We need to appreciate that because we have him. This is not a triumphalistic statement. We should be tremendously joyful that our eyes have been opened by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand that Jesus Christ, in living in conformity with his will, believing in him, is what gets us into heaven. That and that alone, exclusively. Not triumphalism, not we have him and you don't. It is our command by this Lord Jesus Christ that we let other people know this, that the only way you go to heaven is through him. Hence his words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Well, he could have meant this. He meant what he said. He's the only way you get into heaven. That's it. John 3:16 doesn't say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everybody will not perish, but have everlasting life. All that believe in him, the Son, will not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ opened to heaven. He is the bridge on which we must cross into it. If you don't have him, if you're not in union with him, heaven is still closed to you. That is a dangerous condition. And if you care one lick about the people who you say you care about, you will let them know this. That is God's command on it. It is the Great Commission to go teach them about Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people start hearing, Jesus, yeah, everybody knows that. Do they? Does everybody know that? They might know it, but it's not appreciated anymore. Even from authorities within the church, authorities, successors of the apostles. We don't want to be too up in front of people's face, about things like, because they could be offended. Hold that thought for a second. Because I'll talk about that later. But right now, let's talk about us who are here and who should appreciate the fact that the Holy Spirit has brought us into an understanding that we need Jesus Christ to get into heaven. This is why we should enthusiastically and joyfully hear these words every single Mass. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That is part of what is called the Sanctus in the Mass. Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah. This angelic proclamation. We say, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name. We mean that. That is not some ritualistic language that just sounds nice and poetic. Those are the words of the angels. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah the prophet gets a vision of the throne room of heaven. The first thing that stands out in his mind is watching these seraphim. He's one of our 24/7. Holy, holy, holy. How do you know it's 24/7? Well, because centuries later, when St. John the Divine has a vision of heaven, guess what he sees? Seraphim around the throne. Holy, holy, holy. That's got to be kind of boring. What kind of life is that? Boring if you don't know who God is. Boring if you don't appreciate his majesty. Because when we get to see his majesty, boring, it will be the last thing on our mind. To give him praise and glory for what he has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the Sanctus. This is what we hear every Mass. This should excite us. Because blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. For the psalmist, it's anticipation. For us, we know who this was. We don't anticipate anything anymore. We know who he is. But even knowing who he is there an element of anticipation with us? Yes. Joyfully? Yeah, because when are these words spoken? When are these words spoken in the Mass? Right before the consecration. Those are the last words before we get into the consecration of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. Just as St. John the Baptist looked up and saw Jesus Christ walking to him on the Jordan, he told his disciple, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sin of the world. We experience that equally at our Mass. Every time we get together, every single time. Because as objectively as John the Baptist and his disciples looked up and saw Jesus Christ walking toward them, the same exact Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity on our altars. So it is very, very applicable to say these words, because blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He is about to come on our altars. It should elicit within us tremendous joy and enthusiasm for what we are going to receive. We've got to appreciate our Lord and what he does. This thrice holy, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, holy and strong. And it doesn't say just holy, holy, holy. Lord God of Sabaoth, Lord God of hosts, the heavenly armies. We need to appreciate that. He's not some cosmic teddy bear waiting up there to be asked things, but he is nonetheless the general of all the armies of heaven. The church militant, that is who we are. This is something that should, again, be an honor for us. It should make us enthusiastic for our faith and for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we say it, we are about to receive the one who walked down to the River Jordan and was baptized there. The body, blood, soul, and divinity that you will take in your health, into yourself, if you are properly disposed, will be the same body and blood that was baptized in the River Jordan. The same body and blood that was broken and shed on the cross. This is what we say. We know who it was, because the Father from heaven himself spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. It's kind of interesting, very deep theological, different subject for a different day, but understand when God the Father says that, he's actually telling us something, because who has to be baptized? The sinful sons of Adam. And when our God speaks from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son," he's like, he's done something, but he's not one of your sinful sons of Adam. He's my Son. He is the one who is going to do things and fulfill the law as Adam could not. And because of that, you get to go to heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," at the transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Do what he says. Live according to his will." This is what we celebrate in the Mass. This is, again, the words that we speak. Not because they're part of a ritual that, hey, I wonder who wrote those words. The Holy Spirit did in Psalm 118 and many other places throughout the Old Testament. That this one who is going to come is going to be blessed, and he is going to bless us. Jesus Christ and him alone. I said to hold a thought before about not presenting our Lord Jesus Christ as we should. Just this past week, 2 days ago exactly, a successor of Peter, a bishop of Holy Church, someone who has the fullness of the priesthood, who has a diocese, who is a shepherd of souls, has placed a moratorium on the Nicene Creed in his church because it says that would offend some people. The Nicene Creed are the articles of what we believe as Christians. Just that title, Christians. What do? We proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. That is the teaching of our church. Always has been. It is convoluted now by statements from many, that, well, you know, these folks may be okay, and these folks may be okay. They deny Jesus Christ as the tenet of their faith, but they claim to be children of Abraham, so they may be okay. That one word, may, is why it's not absolute, out-and-out, explicit heresy. That word may, because generally career criminals don't go to heaven if they die that way. But Jesus Christ looked at one who confessed him and believed in him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So even career criminals may go to heaven, but most won't. So to throw that word may in is a cop-out. The only way you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ because he says so. It was his message. It was the message of the apostles. It's the message of every saint and every martyr that's died for Holy Church. They died because, no, I won't pinch incense to your altar. I don't care if I offend you by not doing it. This is about Jesus Christ, and I'll go to my death for that. That's what we call a martyr. So to deny what they did and what they endured for Jesus Christ is to spit in their face, to say there may be some salvation somewhere else. We had today the second reading from the book of Acts, St. Peter speaking. Earlier on in the book of Acts, he's speaking to these children of Abraham, and he confronts them with the fact that they have crucified the Lord of glory, that they murdered God. And many are cut to the heart, as it says. And they look at St. Peter and say, "Brethren, what shall we do?" He doesn't say, "You're children of Abraham, so you know you're pretty good. Don't hang any more rabbis on crosses, because that wasn't a good thing. But you just go about your business, because you're seeking God in your own way." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." It is about Jesus Christ and him alone. To not speak the articles of our faith during Mass is wretched unfaithfulness. It is a denial of our. I'm not denying anything. I'm just not saying some things. It's a denial of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a denial of the articles of our faith, because we're supposed to be doing just the opposite. We are supposed to be proclaiming Jesus Christ. We're not doing a particular good job of it. When we tell people that don't know Christ, or who deny outright our Lord, monotheistic or whatever religion, you deny Jesus Christ, heaven is closed to you. This is God's truth. This is what we believe. This is what we teach. I've never heard that before. I don't doubt it. But it's the truth. Again, because I say so, no, I have appealed to Scripture, the tradition of the church. Everyone has to appeal to Scripture and the tradition of the church. Is everybody going to get it? No. This is why, I mean, you should be so joyful about what you have. You should be so tremendously joyful because why? Because you have Jesus Christ. You live in conformity with His will. You're going to go to heaven. As assuredly as we can be assured of anything in this world, you're going to go to heaven. Should that not make you ecstatic that the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to that? Because not everybody has eyes to see and ears to hear. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. The last gospel, we hear it almost every Mass. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not everybody. The gospel tells us that not everybody is a son or daughter of God. Those who believe on him, he has given power to become the sons of God. This is our Lord. This is Jesus Christ. It is explicit. It is the definitive teachings of Holy Catholic Church. Contrary to what you may hear from many different sources within her right now, this is the gospel truth. This is why God Almighty himself spoke and pointed to Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Only people get to heaven with whom he is pleased. In the name of the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost.